Hello friends, welcome to the SOS Podcast. I'm your host Carl, thanks for joining me. I don't know about you, but I've been watching some of these Olympic competitions this last week and a half or so. It's kind of funny, I find myself watching things I would never watch any other time. Never, I just would have zero interest. But for whatever reason, there I am, watching water polo, you know, nothing I would ever care about ever. I think maybe it's just the idea of, you know, even if you're not a super patriotic person, you want to see how your nation does. You want to cheer them on. I've never played water polo. I've never watched water polo, probably outside the Olympics. But maybe if they win, I'll feel like I won, like we won. It's a great way to bring people together, but there is something about the Olympic Games, about that level of competition, that high level, that really breaks my heart. A lot of these sports, they still have their competitions throughout a regular calendar year outside of the Olympic Games. They have their world championships, they have other meets. So they're not just competing in the Olympics every 4 years. But even so, when you're training to compete in the Olympics, it is an event that comes along only every 4 years. Athletes concentrating on different or special skill development and honing, right? Refining specifically for those games. And yes, I'm sure that there are some athletes who prepare a lot more than others, who work a lot harder in prep time up to the Olympic Games than others, maybe even work harder during the games while they're waiting for their event to start. But at the end of the day, everybody who's there has worked really hard. To get there, you gotta be really good, top of your game in your nation, which means that you're the top of the game in the world. For some of these athletes, I'm sure the win was getting to the games. They made it to the Olympics. Maybe they even made it through a qualifying round and they thought, wow, this is so much further than I expected to go. There are plenty of swimmers and runners in the games who just have never posted times fast enough to really be in medal contention, and they know that, but they're still gonna run and swim as hard and fast as they can. They don't expect a medal, but they're there and they're competing. And if they can get to the final, wow, that's like icing on the cake for them. See, everyone is working really hard to do their best. But at the end of the day, there's three spots we recognize, and that's it. In the whole world, in that event, three spots. And sometimes that first spot, the gold medal spot, is really the only one we notice or talk about or care about. Silver, we might say, well, you know, second place is first to lose. You didn't get the gold. But another perspective is, are you kidding me? You're second in the world today in this. That's crazy. Bronze, also. It's not really the medal that we talk about, that we cheer about. We expect when these three winners are on their podiums that the gold medal winner is going to be happier, more excited, louder. I mean, that's the anthem that gets played, right? They're not playing the anthems of the silver and bronze medal winners, right? No, it's the good, it's the one, the first one, the best, the greatest. That's the one that gets played. So I think about these athletes who do so much work to prepare for this competition, and some are going to be gone that first round. It just guts you that there is so much work being put into that competition, and in a moment it's just gone. It's done. You've completed what you can complete, but it wasn't good enough to really get you anywhere noticeable, anywhere that anyone's gonna talk about. It's obvious when someone wins that gold, sometimes even the silver or the bronze, when someone just medals, they're overjoyed. They're so happy. The world is perfect in that moment. You watch these interviews after races. Sometimes there's a little bitterness even for the winner. Maybe I was a fraction of a second off of breaking the world record. And so in that moment, even the gold medal isn't enough for that person to appreciate. He or she is still thinking about, oh, I was still so close to breaking that world record. The victory isn't totally sweet. There's a little bitterness in there yet. But most, by and large, will stand there with their medals and they'll be very happy. Everything is right, right now. This is great, it's what I came for. But some will win the silver and not be happy. Some will win the bronze and not be that happy. Those who compete but don't do well enough to be mentioned, who by comparison look like the bottom of the barrel when really all of these athletes are the cream of the crop, they might not be so happy. By and large, the winners of these competitions will be in a great mood. They'll be excited. Awesome. All my hard work paid off. Those people are on the mountain. You're going to see joy from them. Those who put in all the work as well, but just didn't get there. They just couldn't compete at that level in a significant way. Those people are in the valley. And I think in the valley is where my character and your character really shines through. You have losers who are very gracious losers. I'm here. I'm just happy to compete. This is awesome. Who gets to compete in the Olympics? Not a lot of people. This might be my only shot. I come from such a small country. I can't believe we even have anyone who made it to the final of this event. You might hear things like that. They'll be very happy for those who win. It's almost like they won alongside them when they didn't. Not from the same country. They might not even know them personally, but they're just happy, right? They're just happy to be there. But then you have some who won't make it that far. And that place of joy of just being there, being able to compete alongside the greats, that's not enough for them. They're not going to make it to that place. They're in a place of bitterness, of sadness, of resentment. You see, it's easy to be that guy, Mr. Positive, Mr. Happy, when you're on the mountain. But who are you when you're in the valley? Which one of those places really is a place of development? I feel like the mountain, that's the place of achievement, the place to shine, the place to say, I've made it. But in the valley, that's the place, I think, where you're formed, where you're molded. It's almost like your proving ground. Can you get through here and get through here well? Get through here the right way to make it up that mountain. We all want to reach the summit and look out on the vista and see the ground we were able to cover. That is an achievement. I don't think we really look forward to being down there in the dark valley and looking up to the summit and pondering how much work is ahead of us. In that moment, who are we? In that moment, are we nervous? Are we scared? Are we thinking, good God, why do I have to do so much work to get there? Why can't you just bring me up a little higher? Why can't you make this mountain a little lower? Why can't you make that rock face a little smoother? A little more of an incline, God, it's so steep and jagged. I mean, are we complaining from the valley? Are we, instead of praising God for what he's going to do for us in that challenge, are we instead cursing him because the challenge exists? Our attitude in the valley shows us really who we are. That's the reflective mirror there. People will ask you, what's your favorite verse in the Bible? What's your favorite scripture? And we usually hear really nice, happy, hopeful, encouraging scriptures. Well, I have a scripture in the Bible that is not my favorite, but it's definitely in the top 5 or 10 for me. It's Job chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. It's when Job is going through what he's going through. He had been on the mountain, and now all of a sudden, crash and burn. He's in the valley. He's lost everything. He has one thing left, his wife. And what does she say to him? You're still holding fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. They're both in the valley. I would argue that his valley is darker and deeper because he's the one who's actually suffering from physical affliction at this time. She's probably just ashamed that he's her husband and that they're in the place they're in. But in that valley, she's been consumed by the darkness. She is done. Throw in the towel, curse your God, get out of my life, right? To tell your husband, curse God and die, those are really severe words. That's not a joke, not a joke at all. And what's his response? He says, no, are we to accept the good from God without the bad? It says, in all this, Job did not sin with his words. And why is that one of my favorite passages of scripture? Well, because it reminds me to check myself. It reminds me that there was this man who was in the depths of the depths of the depths. I mean, he was in a rough spot. I've never been there. I probably will never be there. Yet in that moment, when his one encourager, his wife, the one who should be encouraging him, says, you know what, let's just throw in the towel, forget it, forget this God, let's call it a day. You don't even need to be living anymore. That's how bad this is. You might as well just die. Even in the face of that, your one encourager actually discouraging you, he had enough to say, no, I'm still going to praise my God. I'm still going to accept from him whatever he brings me. That's an attitude I need to be reminded of when I'm in the valley, because I don't always behave like that. I don't always reflect that image when times get dark and they're tough and I'm not in the place where I wish I could be. The work hasn't really given me any fruit. Nothing's panned out. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. That's when my true character comes out. Don't judge me by what you see when I'm on the mountaintop. If you're to judge me by what you see when I'm in that valley. In those shadows, in the rocky crag, trying to get my footing and a handhold and make it up even just a fraction of an inch from the valley floor. Slow goings, it's tough, it's not warm, and I might feel alone. That's when you want to judge my character, because that's when the real me is going to come out. And the hope is that the real me doesn't look any different than the me you see most other times. The hope is that my character is true and genuine, that my integrity doesn't change, that my love for God doesn't change, that my faithfulness to him and his plan doesn't change. That's the hope for me when I'm in that valley, and that's the hope for you. This week's Songspiration is a song by Yolanda Adams called Still I Rise. The lyric is the voice of someone in the depths, in the shadow, in the valley. And every time something comes against her, she makes a statement against that force. She says, I'm shattered, but I'm not broken. I'm wounded, but time will heal me. Weary, still I press on. That's the attitude of someone who knows who they are and who they serve. That's the attitude of someone with a good Christian identity. Yes, this force is coming against me. This issue's been presented to me, but you know what? I'm gonna get through it. I have a tough challenge before me, but it's conquerable. That's the attitude we need to have in the valley. No matter what comes against us, we know we can defeat it. No matter what we must suffer, we can still have joy. We might suffer loss, but we still know that we've gained everything there is to gain in this world. That's who we need to be when we are in the valley. Father God, we thank you, as Job said, for the good and the bad. We thank you, God, for the light times and the dark times. We thank you that you use the valley to develop us, to make us grow more into your likeness. Father, we don't want to be sore losers in this life, God. We want to be those who can sit in the valley and learn from it. We want to be those who don't look up at that rock face or that summit and dread the work it will take to get up there. But instead, we want to be those who will look ahead to the miraculous power you're going to display to help us get through that. We want to be joyful about that. Not dreading the climb, but looking forward to it, God. Because you are the architect, you're the designer, and you're the one who'll get us through. Father, thank you, Lord, that no matter how deep that valley is, you always make a way out, and you always have a summit ahead for us. Father, we love you, and we can't wait to see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good day, and God bless.
Soul.